So I just want to thank everyone for sticking around to the end. I really appreciate that you all stayed to hear my talk. I'm going to be speaking today about some time trends and disparities in access to care for U.S. families. So I just want to start off by acknowledging my mentor and my advisor and co-author on this paper, Dr. Whitney Witt. And I also want to tip my hat to my funding sources who have supported me throughout my doctoral dissertation. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So we've just been hearing a presentation about the importance of healthcare costs and how we're going to contain them as we move forward, especially with the advent also of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. I think these ideas of access and cost are at the forefront of most people's minds. I'm sure that you all are very well aware of them. But I think that, and one of the reasons I wanted to use this Gallup poll as my first slide is, I think it identifies that the public is very cognizant of the fact that healthcare access and healthcare costs are really a very pervasive problem and something that we're going to need to seriously deal with as we move forward. And also, is particularly important considering we've just gone through a very important economic period of recession, and that has influenced probably many more people's ability to access care in an affordable way. So my research question for this study, I was interested in looking at specifically time trends and the risk of unmet healthcare need among families in the United States over the past decade, so 2001 through 2010, and also looking at longitudinal disparities in unmet healthcare needs, so specifically what disparities exist and do they change over time. And I wanted to do this also using a nationally representative population-based sample. So in order to do that, I was using data from the National Health Interview Survey, 10 years of data. It's a nationally representative population-based survey. And I really wanted to include a very broad definition of families. And so I included all related individuals living together as well as single-person families. So my definition of family here really is all-encompassing and includes almost all of the U.S. citizens surveyed in this sample and almost 350,000 families for my sample size. So my main dependent variable in this analysis was unmet healthcare need, and it was defined specifically as the report of delayed or foregone healthcare during the past 12 months. So NHIS is a cross-sectional survey, so they ask people questions in one point in time, but this question refers to the year prior to the survey. And specifically, this unmet healthcare need was restricted to those who had experienced delayed or foregone care due to worry about the cost or not being able to afford care. And this was asked for every individual within a family, but for the purposes of this analysis, I created an aggregate measure, so looking at anyone in the family versus no one in the family. I was also interested in looking at a whole host of independent variables that could presumably affect the risk of unmet healthcare need, both family-level variables as well as some variables which I took from the family reference person, so the person who was answering the survey on behalf of the family. So I started out for my descriptive analyses by just looking at the prevalence estimates of unmet healthcare need for specific groups, both within groups and then across time, and comparing using chi-squared and trend tests. But what I really want to focus on today is what I think probably most interesting to a lot of you is the multivariable results. So I started out using a multivariable logistic regression where I'm modeling time linearly and just looking for interactions with specific groups to see if the rates of increase change over time. So the only problem with multivariable logistic regression, whether or not you assume time is linear or try to introduce functional polynomials or potentially a piecewise modeling strategy for time, is you're inherently making some assumptions about linearity. You're saying we have a very specific shape that time follows and these disparities change over time, and you don't really have a lot of flexibility to model that if that's not actually the case. And so I also used generalized additive models, or GAMs, which is a semi-parametric regression technique that allows me to kind of model the wonky curves that you might expect to see in the rate of change over time, and I'll actually show you some pretty pictures about that, and I think that'll make it more clear about why GAMs are so important for this question. So overall, we see some very interesting trends in the prevalence of unmet healthcare need over time. And again, my analysis is focusing on the years between 2001 and 2010, but I had some additional data that I wanted to throw in here as well because I thought it was particularly interesting. So So if we look at the year 2000, this is kind of, in the past 15 years, the lowest point in the prevalence of unmet health care need. And we're looking at about 13% of families in the United States experiencing unmet health care need in the year 2000, which represents almost 14 million U.S. families. However, in 2009, at the peak of the recession, that number jumps to just over 20% of U.S. families. So one in five U.S. families had at least one family member who has experienced any unmet health care need, and that represents just over 24 million families on an annual basis. And so that's an increase of 10 million families annually in just a period of 10 years, which I think is quite striking and not entirely unexpected. And obviously, you can see the sharpest increase in this period of time does occur between the years of 2007 and 2009, which does correspond to the recession. So I'm going to kind of briefly go through the numbers. I put the numbers up here because people like numbers, but I think the graphical results might be a little bit more interesting. So these are some of the static disparities, the disparities that don't really change very much over time or follow the same trend that you just saw in the previous graph. So all these variables represent groups who are at an increased risk of unmet health care need generally throughout the study period. So things like as you move forward in time, you're increasing in risk. People with less education, people who were recently unemployed versus currently employed, if you have a high utilizing family member, and any family member with an activity limitation. However, there are also some protective factors. Asian Pacific Islanders, non-Hispanic, are less likely than those who are white non-Hispanic. People who live in the Midwest and the South are less likely than those who live in the West. People who have an elderly family member, insurance concordance, and basically that just means if all members of the family are on the same type of insurance rather than getting their insurance from different providers, and as well as families that do have a usual source of care. So moving on to some dynamic disparities, this is what I think is really, really interesting, kind of the meat of my presentation. So just looking at this, the first thing that you may notice is that the only disparity that appears to be increasing or widening over time is actually this U.S. region of residence disparity. So it appears that people who live in the Northeast region are at a decreased likelihood of unmet health care need, and that disparity is widening over time. They're becoming increasingly less likely. Whereas the rest of these disparities, it appears that they are actually narrowing. But as I'll show you in a second, we're actually narrowing these disparities in the wrong direction. We're not bringing the highest risk groups down to the level of the lowest risk. The lowest risk groups are actually increasing at a rate much faster than the high risk groups. So the first example, and these are all generated from the generalized ADD model results. So this is fully adjusted prevalence trends, controlling for all the factors that I had previously mentioned. So these are just some of the racial disparities, and it's kind of maybe a little bit hard to see, but the gray bars do outline the recession years, just to emphasize that. So if you look at the beginning of the time period, we definitely see some marked differences in terms of racial and ethnic rates of unmet health care need. However, during the recession, and if you look in the previous slide again, it looks like the Black and Hispanic disparities are narrowing. But here we see they're not narrowing because their rates are becoming closer to whites. It's that their rates are increasing faster over time. Very similarly, when we look at these education-based disparities, you can see in 2001, there's a very sharp break between people who have high school education or less and those who have greater than or some college or more. And over time, we see the people who have some college actually increasing at a faster, or some college less than high school or high school degree increasing at a faster rate than the highest education. So again, numerically speaking, if you look at the multivariable logistic regression, it looks like these disparities are narrowing, but not, again, in the way that we would like them to. Similarly, we have some regional disparities here. I previously mentioned the fact that the Northeast looks like it's widening over time, and we can see that here. In 2001, these different regions are much closer in terms of the prevalence of unmet need, but over time, we see the Northeast as being much better protected against unmet health care need. Maybe that has something to do with certain bases for the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that have been piloted in states such as Massachusetts actually being effective, but that, of course, is just speculation, and I can't specifically speak to that. This, I think, is one of the most interesting results that I found. So we're looking here at income disparities over time. So the two highest lines, the blue and the yellow, these represent poor and low-income families in the United States. And as you can see, during the recession, they increased slightly, just like the other groups, but the two groups that are the most susceptible to these drastic rate increases during the recession are these middle and high-income families, represented by the red and the green. And we even see to the point that post-recession, those in the middle income, that red line, are at an equivalent rate as those who are poor. And I think we've all heard a lot about war on the middle class and all the challenges faced by the middle class. And I think this is really a perfect example of how that is actually occurring. These middle class families are not being buffered against the negative effects of the recession, and we really start to see a drastic uptick in their rate of unmet healthcare need. And also, again, the high-income family probably has the most drastic increase, although they are still significantly below the middle, low, and poor income groups. So insurance status is the other factor that I found to be very, very striking. One of the things that the multivariable result logistic regression will show you is that it appears that those who are publicly insured are at an increased risk of unmet healthcare need. And that is true when you look back at 2001 and you see that public insurance has a higher rate than those in private insurance. But as you go through the recession, you actually see public insurance is a pretty static rate of unmet healthcare need over time. And they do increase during the recession, but not to the extent that the privately insured do. And post-recession, those who are privately insured actually have a higher rate of unmet healthcare needs than those who are publicly insured. And this, I think, is very significant because it suggests that as we move forward, as costs rise, as access issues are more and more prevalent, private insurance isn't doing a good enough job protecting families against substantial financial burden or against not experiencing unmet healthcare need. And I think that, again, that might speak to the importance of regulatory and legislative reforms to address this issue of, does insurance really do what it's supposed to do? Does it protect you and guarantee access to care? And these results would suggest that, especially post-recession, private insurance may not grant the same protection that it once did. I also think it's interesting to note that families that have both private and public insurance had the lowest rate of unmet healthcare need over time, and I think that that can speak to the unique opportunity within this country to kind of marry those two systems, both public and private, to provide U.S. families the best support and protection against unmet healthcare need. And although I didn't find any significant difference in the trends among families that had partial or any lapse in insurance coverage and those who were uninsured, I did want to point out that these groups have some of the highest rates of unmet healthcare need of all of the subgroups that I looked at. And at the height of the recession in 2009, families that were considered uninsured had a 50% were 50% of them experienced any unmet healthcare need, which I think is extremely striking when you consider the raw number of uninsured families in this country, and that 50% of them, half, are experiencing unmet healthcare need during the recession. So finally, the last slide that I want to show you. There's some differences also in the rates for people based on what they spent last year on healthcare. So these lines are kind of increasing order of the raw dollar amount that people have spent on healthcare in the past year. And that's a little bit harder to tell in this graph because the log odds of unmet need are so drastically different. So there's some raw disparities that you can see, but the rate of increase during the recession is most drastic for those who paid none or less than $500. So these are people with relatively low absolute out-of-pocket costs, and yet during the recession, it's clear that for some families, those costs were still extremely prohibitive in terms of accessing care because their rates did increase the greatest during that time. So just briefly to talk about some of the conclusions, risk of unmet healthcare need is clearly an increasing problem in the United States, and there are some very striking and important disparities and access to care that I think may also translate into disparities that we see in health and mental health status. So one of the other important things is that some of the factors that we previously relied on to improve access to care, for example, health insurance, appear to be becoming less protective over time. And as such, I think it's going to be extremely important for us to consider new ways of providing protection, both in terms of accessing care and reducing financial burden for families to ensure that they can have the best health possible. And to that point, I do think that unmet health care need may be a very important problem because it can lead to the deterioration of population and individual health, and also inappropriate health care utilization. That's actually one of the things that I'm looking at as part of my dissertation. And there's some evidence to suggest that if people feel that going to see their primary care physician is too cost prohibitive, they may be more likely to go see care in an emergency room. And so maybe there's less individual cost to them, but those costs do get passed on to society and to other people, and it can contribute and exacerbate the problem of cost and access in general. So thank you very much for sticking around. Right, so the National Health Interview Survey has two questions that they ask every single person who is interviewed as part of the survey. The first question says, did you delay any needed medical care, medical or health care, because you were worried about the cost of care? The second question says, did you go without any needed medical care because of the cost of that care? So then I took any affirmative answers to either of those questions for anyone in the family, and use that to say that family experienced unmet health care need if they had anyone who experienced either of those two things versus all family members responded no to both of those questions. Yeah. Yes. Right. So, no, I actually have data all the way through 2010, but through 2000, I thought that the most interesting change was during that recession period, and so sometimes I made the decision to cut off 2010 so I could scale and make it a little bit bigger and more clear, and I kind of went back and forth about whether that would be confusing or not, so maybe I'll have to go back to all 2001 to 2010. Right. Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that I think is really interesting is I'm starting to add in more data from before 2000 to 1997 and then 2011, is we actually see 2010 and 2011 a decrease in unmet healthcare need, which to me says maybe certain things that have happened since 2009 have been beneficial in terms of accessing care. I can't say specifically what those things are, but we see that on a national level, and I think that's really important to note too. Yeah, so the first one I would say is private insurance. Private insurance at the beginning of the study period seems to protect people much better than public insurance, but at the end of the study period, the rate for private insurance has one of the most drastic increases over time. So private insurance just isn't doing the same job at protecting families against unmet healthcare need as it once did. And I think that that's very important because a lot of people feel like, oh, if you have insurance, you're good to go. But really it's not just about do you have insurance, it's about what does that insurance do for you? Do they provide you care but only at, you know, excessive costs, which are prohibitive for many people? Or maybe they do provide you some benefits, but are those benefits really comprehensive enough to ensure that you can get the care that you need? And I think that these questions are, you know, important subtleties that we need to start acknowledging a little bit more and incorporating, especially when we're looking to define insurance in future studies. I think just saying insured versus not isn't enough, and maybe even saying private versus public isn't enough either. And then the only other one that I would say that is really important is income. When we start to see that those middle and high income families are, you know, just there's a ridiculous increase during the recession especially, and such that the middle income families have a much higher rate than they did previously, and also it's equivalent approximately to that of people who are living at less than 100% of the federal poverty level, which is pretty striking. So it's not just do you have money that's not, you know, good enough anymore, and that I don't think was good enough to begin with, but money isn't going to protect you from unmet healthcare need, as I think these results indicate. Thanks.
Well, I mean, I think we have to stop formally, but thank you very much.